Around me, scores of people have arrived, being held back by the police to watch this first incision into the Berlin Wall since it was put up on the night of 12th of August 1961. City engineers are gathered alongside the wall. One man is just pointing to the very spot where they will make the first breach. He's produced a felt-tip pen and he's drawing a square. That's where the first mark will be. And one engineer has literally started hammering into the Berlin Wall, making a first incision. Here we go now, any minute, any second now, the Berlin Wall will be broken into. A huge cheers going up. This huge digger is angling itself alongside the Berlin Wall. He's swinging it round.
Greenwich Mean Time.
BBC World Service. The news read by John Stare. Large queues have been building up at all of East Germany's crossing points with the West, including the new openings made in the Berlin Wall during the night. Over the weekend, more than a million people are expected to exercise their new freedom to visit the West. In Bonn, the West German Cabinet is meeting to discuss its response to the dramatic developments of the past week. And Chancellor Kohl has spoken by telephone to the East German leader, Mr. Egon Krenz. In the Soviet Republic of Moldavia, Communist Party leaders are holding an emergency meeting to discuss clashes there yesterday between nationalist demonstrators. Nearly 30 years after building the Berlin Wall to keep people in East Germany, the authorities there have opened new crossing points to make it easier for them to leave. Workmen with mechanical diggers breached the wall, hurriedly laying roads, putting up temporary control points, and even handing pieces of the wall to bystanders. At the first new crossing to be opened, large crowds streamed across with a minimum of formalities. On one section near the Brandenburg Gate, however, East German troops moved in after people who had scaled the wall tried to remove concrete slabs, and there were scuffles. Elsewhere, there were traffic jams, miles long, at motorway crossings from east into west Germany. Tens of thousands of people have already made their way to the west. Some said they were staying for good, but most intended to make a brief visit to relatives, to go shopping and sightseeing, or simply to celebrate their new freedom to travel. It's expected that by Sunday night, more than a million people will have crossed the border or the Berlin Wall. The lifting of East Germany's restrictions on travel to the West has been accompanied by official proposals for radical political reforms. The country's new leader, Mr. Egon Krenz, told a party rally yesterday that the aim was to achieve socialism that was economically effective, politically democratic, and morally clean. He was speaking after the Communist Party Central Committee had ended a three-day crisis meeting with plans for free, democratic elections, one of the main demands behind the protests which have shaken the country in recent weeks. It also promised a new law on the freedom of assembly and the media, as well as measures to bring the security police under parliamentary control. Chancellor Kohl is chairing a special meeting of the West German Cabinet in Bonn to discuss the rapid pace of change in East Germany. Ministers are expected to discuss the provision of substantial economic aid and consider how West Germany can best cope with the latest influx of people from East Germany. Before the meeting got underway, Chancellor Kohl spoke by telephone to the East German leader, Mr. Krenz. According to the official East German news agency, they talked about developing travel, expanding economic ties, and about other matters of practical cooperation. It was the second known telephone conversation between the two leaders since Mr. Krenz took office about 4 weeks ago. Chancellor Kohl is due to return to Poland later today to resume the visit he interrupted yesterday to fly to West Berlin and then on to Bonn. The South Korean government has said it hopes the dramatic changes taking place in Germany could lead to a lessening of tensions in the divided Korean peninsula. The information minister said the opening of East Germany's border with the West signified the effective end of Cold War confrontation, and he hoped such changes would accelerate reforms in North Korea. About 10 million Koreans have been separated from relatives since the end of the Korean War in 1953. The new Bulgarian leader, Mr. Petr Mladenov, has been speaking about the urgent need for changes to turn the country into a modern and democratic state. Mr. Mladenov, the former foreign minister, was elected to succeed President Taro Zhivkov, who unexpectedly resigned yesterday at a meeting of the Communist Party Central Committee after more than 35 years in power. Mr. Mladenov told the Central Committee there was no alternative to restructuring, although he saw this as taking place solely within the fabric, within the framework of socialism. This news comes to you in the World Service of the BBC.
This is Swiss Radio International. We are transmitting to the Far East, Southeast Asia, and Australasia. While thousands of East Germans go west to enjoy their weekend in the western part of the country, the pressure for reforms doesn't seem to lose momentum. I asked German affairs specialist Pierre Spöri whether there are signs that East German communists are willing to share power with opposition groups.
Well, the pressure of reform inside the Socialist Unity Party in East Germany is obviously quite strong. This was shown both in the results of the meeting of the Central Committee and when one saw the mass meeting on the Lustgarten in East Berlin last night, which was addressed by Mr. Krenz. There was quite strong pressure on all the issues, on the issues of travel, on the issues of election, on the issues of the media. And I feel there Mr. Krenz will have to take into account pressures in his own party.
Now, the Central Committee has promised a new law on freedom of the press. Has the press changed already?
Well, what is amazing is that only about 10% of the East Germans watched their own television until about 2 weeks ago. Now the quotes have gone up to 50% or so, because they report directly what is happening, and they report also critical things concerning the regime. It's more obvious in television than it is in the press.
Is the reunification of the two Germanies an issue in East Germany as it is slowly but steadily becoming here in the West?
In East Germany, it's an issue under the surface. But whenever people are asked, they express themselves in a rather critical way. What seems obvious is that the Germans don't want to be bought or taken over by a strong, powerful, rich West Germany. I think this is quite deep in many of the East Germans. So they would like the right kind of federation or democratic way of running their own affairs, but I'm not sure whether, if there was a plebiscite today, they want to join the Federal Republic straight away, what the result will be.
And finally, Moscow, the main member of the Warsaw Pact, how has Moscow reacted to all this talk about the reunification of the two Germanies?
Well, Mr. Gerasimov was very strong in his caution last night, saying that East is East, East and West is West. NATO and Warsaw Pact were results of the last war, and that this present order stands.
Pierre Spöri, a specialist in German affairs, thank you very much.
I live in East Germany, and I've been so happy. It's beautiful, it's beautiful. What can I say? It's Berlin. United, we are. In that word, we can't say our feelings. We are happy.
I think they break down the wall.
The scene was almost unbelievable as East Germans passed through the Brandenburg Gate to West Berlin, as citizens of both countries mingled merrily atop the once fearsome Berlin Wall, and literally began hammering it down chip by chip.
The wall won't disappear tomorrow or next week, but it already seems to have become an anachronism as East Germany's newly reconstituted communist government lifts travel restrictions and contemplates other reforms to stanch an outpouring of frustrated citizens to the democratic and capitalistic West.
There are some indications such a policy could work. In recent days, tens of thousands of East Germans enjoyed freely passing through the now porous wall, only to return home when their shopping, sightseeing, and family reunions were done. But the thousands who stayed joined hundreds of thousands of previous refugees, causing mounting concern in the West German government, even as prospects for ultimate German reunification gain momentum.
To talk about the situation and the prospects for both Germany's, Western Europe, the Soviet bloc, and the United States, we have Newsweek correspondent Michael Meyer in Berlin, Henning Horstmann, press counselor of the West German Embassy in Washington, and Peter Wyden, author of a new book titled Wall, the Inside Story of a Divided Berlin. Michael, what's the mood on each side of the wall after all the nights and days of celebration?
Oh, the mood is still one of jubilation. It's as though Berlin were in the middle of an all day, all night, 3 day, 4 day block party, and everybody continues to celebrate. Politically, the mood is still of uncertainty. People are wondering how long these changes will endure, whether the nice noises, the reformist noises the Communist Party leaders are making are real. But for now, it is the mood of a party.
Beyond free travel, what are the first real reforms we can expect in the East German system?
Well, that's very much up in the air. The Central Committee was meeting this week. They concluded with only rumors. There is talk of free elections. It depends on how the party moves. Right now, as in Poland and Hungary, the party is divided into people who want to reform and those who are worried what it implies for their own privileges and power. Clearly, Egon Krenz, the new general secretary of the Communist Party, believes that he has to make a great leap to become a Gorbachev-style reformer in order to hold his country together and to maintain the communists in power. Intriguing hints have come out about there's much talk of possible democracy, of multi-party rule, and in a rather stunning statement earlier this week, the Berlin party chief, Gunter Zabowski, said that elections could, in fact, mean the ouster of the Communist Party. That's quite a development in a country that just 1 month ago was one of the more retrograde regimes in the region, excluding any kind of power sharing with the opposition.
Moscow has said it favors the reforms that have been announced in East Germany. To what extent was pressure from Moscow behind some of these reforms?
Well, it was very important at the beginning when Honecker was in power. I was told last week by a senior East German official that when Gorbachev came to East Berlin, he took Honecker aside. They had a private meeting, and he said, "The time for change has come." Honecker took it very seriously. Then, of course, Krenz went to Moscow. We can expect that Gorbachev repeated the message, this time to a much more receptive audience. Krenz saw where things were leading. He saw the hundreds of people, even millions of people, marching in Leipzig and East Berlin, and he said to himself, well, the game is up. It is time to get in front of this evolution, and he leapt for all he was worth, and now, almost in a stroke, almost overnight, he has gone very, very far in winning back his people's confidence. Now, if the reforms continue, he may well be at their head. He may become a German statesman on the line of Adenauer, of Willy Brandt. Already, he will go down in history as the man who tore down the Berlin Wall. It's very interesting because he was tarred in the West as Erich Honecker's protege, sort of a clone of Erich Honecker. Well, Honecker built the wall, and now Krenz is dismantling everything that he built.
Michael Meyer in Berlin, thank you very much. For an official view, we turn to Henning Horstmann of the West German Embassy in Washington. There's been much debate about the amount of aid the United States should provide to communist nations in transition, including Poland, Hungary, East Germany, and Mikhail Gorbachev's Soviet Union itself. Do you see things reaching a point where West Germany also is looking for assistance for all those East German refugees?
I see we can cope. That is, the German government and the German economy can cope with the refugees. So far, let me just quote one figure, 95% of all those who came from East Germany to West Germany found places in the labor market, and the latest figures show we have still 300,000 registered labor vacancies, that is, open places. So as far as the economy is concerned, due And due to our demographic stagnation in the Federal Republic of Germany, and also due to the good state of our economy, we have no problems in integrating the our East German compatriots. We face housing problems, thus the Chancellor and the federal government made it a top priority to construct more houses, more apartments. That will be speeded up. And there we are happy for any assistance given, and I understand that, for example, the U.S. commanders have opened their barracks for given sort of transition sheltering for these people. There we face some problems.
Picking away at the wall for symbolism and souvenirs is one thing, reunification quite another. Lay out for us briefly the stages you think we'd have to pass through to get from here to there and how long it might take realistically.
We should make things very clear. First of all, we are called upon by our own constitution, the Federal Republic of Germany, that is every German, to work that the German people can regain in free self-determination their unity in a united Europe. Thus, the steps, in my view, are quite clear to overcome the European division together with our European and our North Atlantic allies. Secondly, to see to it that these changes which have taken place in Central and Eastern Europe take place in an evolutionary place.
You say that the Constitution calls for a unity within a united Europe. Does the word unity mean reunification, or are there semantic differences that are very important here?
I think there are some semantic differences which are important, because there is no blueprint for history, and I think the founding father, so to speak, of our constitutions were right in just calling regain their unity. In which form and when remains to be decided by free self-determination, and there we West Germans should not be too arrogant and should not patronize, for example, our East German compatriots. It will be also, and very much up to them, to decide whether and how they want to be united with the other German states. You know that our history, that is the German history, has always been a rather happy one for ourselves and for our neighbors when we met in federations or confederations. So one of my personal ideas is that a federation could be foreseen. We are clearly not up to re-establish the Bismarck Reich.
Thank you, Councillor Horstmann. Finally, we turn to Peter Weiden, a German-Jewish refugee of the 1930s, whose book Wall, The History of a Divided Berlin, is being published just as the wall begins its dramatic demise. And welcome to Newsweek on Air. When did you start your research and why?
I started the active research almost 5 years ago. And the thought for the book really goes back, would you believe, to 1965, when I took my children to see the wall and saw how they were, you know, really stricken, as everyone is who used to see it. The seeds, in other words, go back a long time, and of course the seeds of my experience with East Germany go back to 1945. When I was there for a year working as a journalist for the government, the United States government. And so I was, in a way, I find myself having been present at the creation when Berlin was first divided, when the country was first divided, and when East Germany became what was then called the, as you know, the Soviet zone.
Could you ever imagine seeing the scenes that we've seen in the last week? Did you ever expect to see this?
Absolutely not. I tell you, I was last in Berlin in mid-September interviewing. And at that time, all that had happened is that the Hungarians had snipped some wire off the fence at their border. And that now, of course, seems like centuries ago. And it is a totally dumbfounding. But as I mull over as to why this happened and why now, it's perfectly apparent that the East Germans, the East German government, did this as an ultimate, ultimate, desperate last measure to stay in office at least for a little while longer.
One key point in your book is the degree to which the United States and the West generally failed to respond to the wall's creation. And today critics charge that President Bush is not responding with enough imagination or vigor to the political upheaval now tearing it down, transforming other communist regimes. Is it a mirror image of sorts?
I think definitely yes. I think you've hit on a very key point. What they should do, in my humble view, that is, President Bush, in collaboration with Mr. Gorbachev, is to stop the clock, do nothing but create some time, a moratorium, while everybody catches their breath. I think this is of tremendous importance to, in a way, to act quickly in order to achieve inaction, if I'm making sense.
Yes.
After all,
because, you know, the thing is this, very, very quickly and very simply. You've got in East Germany now, I think they're an inch and a half away from anarchy. At the top, you have these leaders that no one really wants, and who are not new faces, as advertised here, over here very frequently. This is the second string of the old faces. These are the same old apparatchiks, a little younger, a little bit more worldly, same bunch. At the bottom, you have these nice people who are marching, who have no leaders, apparently no leadership experience, and nobody that has come forward, you know, who can do any negotiating on an organized scale. So you have vacuum at the top, vacuum at the bottom. It's the perfect formula for anarchy.
Thank you. We've been talking about the dramatic developments in East Germany last week and what may lie ahead. On the line, Newsweek correspondent Michael Meyer in West Berlin, Henning Horstmann, press counselor of the West German Embassy in Washington, where Newsweek on Air is heard on WKYS and WTOP, and Peter Wyden, author of Wall, the inside story of divided Berlin from Simon & Schuster. He's in New York, where we're heard on WNYC. Thanks again.